You're listening to Red Eye on Co-op Radio at CFRO 102.7 FM.
This was the week when many of us learned the meaning of the word prorogue for the first time. Thursday, Stephen Harper asked the Governor General to suspend Parliament in the face of a coalition of opposition parties who intended to topple him with a vote of no confidence. Harper, with 37% of the votes in the last election, says he'll take it to the people in an election-style campaign before he introduces an early budget at the end of January. Candidates for a Progressive Coalition is a grassroots organization that was formed shortly after the 2008 election by Kyle Artell and Jamie Bigger, two students from the University of Victoria. They've both been involved in progressive activism for quite some time, and they say their work has always been tied to issues, not political parties. Jamie Bigger joins me this morning by phone from Victoria. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, good morning, Lorraine.
Why did you start your group, Canadians for a Progressive Coalition?
Well, I mean, in the lead up to the October 14th election, there was a real recognition, I think, in the center-left and left wing of the political spectrum in Canada that we were splitting the vote and that we were facing a united center-right and right wing, and that for that reason we were at a structural disadvantage in our voting system. So there was a real push for strategic voting in the lead up to the election. And then following the election, obviously a lot of disappointment, but then a recognition that, in fact, the progressive parties that represent 62% of the voting population in Canada could still form a coalition government that would better reflect the values of the majority of Canadians. And, I mean, there were emails going back and forth and just shooting around the web, so we decided to set up a website with a petition and asking people to call their MPs to say that they would support a coalition government.
Were you surprised when the three opposition parties actually began moving towards a coalition?
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that we didn't expect anything like this to happen so quickly, and we didn't expect it to happen as a defensive move against the Conservative government, simultaneously not moving on it with an economic stimulus package, and also using the economic crisis to create a political crisis by trying to cut the public funding for the opposition parties. So we didn't expect anything like this to happen so quickly. We expected it to be a much longer effort. So that's why, yes, I'm surprised, and no, I wasn't surprised, in the sense that we really, when we were reaching out to the parties and reaching out to their supporters, found actually a lot of support for the idea of forming a coalition government. So there was not that groundwork had been laid, but there was interest and tentative support before last week's economic update.
Now, we've heard some pretty strong rhetoric used against the idea of the coalition, characterizing it as undemocratic or a coup d'etat. What's the constitutional basis for toppling the government in this way?
Well, 1,000 years of the evolution of the Westminster parliamentary system. In fact, our parliamentary system was designed precisely to deal with this kind of a problem, where a minority government it refuses to behave cooperatively with the parties that make up the rest of the majority of Parliament. In such a situation, if the majority of Parliament forms a coalition and passes a non-confidence vote, then they become government. That's how the system is designed to work. What's completely unprecedented and actually represents a deeply troubling break from the tradition of parliamentary democracy is suspending Parliament in the face of an impending non-confidence vote. I mean, if you think about this precedent that sets, it suggests that whenever a minority government wants to avoid being toppled, it can simply suspend Parliament going forward, which is not the sort of thing that should happen in an advanced democracy.
Now, do you know the basis of why the right or the option to prorogue would be in place in the first place?
Well, normally it's used to end a parliamentary session. So normally it's a completely normal part of the functioning of Parliament, in that it's how you wind down Parliament after the completion of a session. What's new and unprecedented is using it, essentially using it as the nuclear option, a couple of weeks after an election.
Do you think that there are valid concerns from a progressive perspective about the makeup of the coalition?
I think that as progressive Canadians, we need to look at the really existing options that we have going forward. There are differences, no question, between the parties that we want to see as part of a broader progressive coalition. With that said, there's no, I don't think anybody believes that any particular party has a monopoly on good ideas. And furthermore, going forward, the Liberals and the NDP, and even the Bloc Québécois on every issue besides separatism, have far more in common than they do in difference, particularly when you contrast them with the stance on a host of issues that the Conservatives hold. So if we want to see a Canada where progressive policies on the economy, in healthcare, in education, on the environment, are put into place by our federal government, then we need to think very seriously about how, as progressives, we organize in order to secure power in Parliament in the face of a unified right.
Well, what kind of response, Jamie, have you seen in the last week in support of the coalition once it was announced?
We saw a huge outpouring of support, especially through the end of last week, and then through the middle to end of this week. What we also saw, though, was once the conservative machine really got revved up and they got their messaging down, we've been just amazed by how well-funded and well-organized they are. And by well-organized, I include their grassroots. They have an extremely well-organized grassroots. So by about the middle of the week, we started to get huge amounts of hate mail. And by about the middle of the week, we started to see the radio shows just getting lit up with organized conservative callers. So we've seen a huge outpouring of support, and we've also seen a very successful counteroffensive by the Conservatives, calling this undemocratic and essentially traitorous.
Yeah, the province ran a headline yesterday called "Fear Grips the Nation" poll. What's your take on public opinion overall?
Well, I mean, I think that on both sides, both pro-coalition and anti-coalition, fear has been is being used to advocate their issues. So, the anti-coalition forces arguing that this is undemocratic, arguing that this is going to empower separatists, and the pro-coalition forces arguing that without a coalition government, there won't be an economic stimulus, and Canada is going to sink further and further into a recession. So I'm not surprised that in the face of that, the public is afraid. Given they've been told that either way, there's something to fear. With that said, Canadians for Progressive Coalition started shortly after the election with a very positive message that we have confidence that a coalition government would be able to translate the values of the majority of Canadian voters into effective action in Ottawa while respecting a conservative minority in Canada. So what we're sticking to is a very positive message that a coalition government is good for Canada, it's good for progressives, it's good for progressive interests, and therefore all Canadian interests. And if we work together, we're going to be able to achieve that.
Now, you alluded to the Conservatives, well organized and even grassroots efforts. Where do you think Harper's going with his strategy of taking it to the people?
I think possibly an election. I think there's two scenarios that he sees for himself in the end of January. In one scenario, what we're going to see over the next 2 months is basically a quasi-election campaign, where we're already seeing phone banking as being organized on the conservative side. They're already starting to run TV ads. That's going to continue for the next 2 months. And the entire idea of a coalition is going to be delegitimized, or they're going to attempt to delegitimize it. and they're going to attempt to essentially brand the Liberals as being being basically traitors for being willing to talk to the Bloc Québécois. Now, all of that's complete nonsense. With that said, where they're going with this is either forcing the coalition parties to abandon their attempts to pass a non-confidence vote on the budget when it comes up in the new year, and then cow them back into submission, or on the other hand, have them pass the non-confidence vote and then actually go for an election in the hopes of securing a majority government. So the stakes are very, very high going forward. We'll either see a successful coalition government come into power, or we will see a unsuccessful coalition with much less capability of resisting conservative initiatives, or we'll see an election that would be up in the air. So I think that kind of my message to other progressive Canadians is to really not underestimate how important this moment in our history is, and basically just to say that if this is a poker game, all the chips are on the table.
When you look at the campaign that Harper's intending to mount, where are the openings for progressive people? Where's the opportunities for a counter spin to his traitor talk?
Well, I think on a couple of fronts. First off, I think we do have a much more positive message that 62% of Canadians voted for parties with progressive policies, and it is completely democratically legitimate for those parties to form a coalition and then form government, particularly in the context of the entire world moving in a certain direction, moving towards government, taking a more active role in the economy in the face of a global recession and perhaps even depression, while the Harper government does not move in that direction. So I think we have a very positive message about the legitimacy and the benefits of having a coalition government. On the other hand, attacking there are lots of opportunities to attack what I think Harper and the Conservatives perceive as being their strengths. So on the democracy issue, the coalition is completely democratic, and in fact proroguing Parliament, suspending Parliament in the face of a non-confidence vote is a deeply undemocratic and troubling move by the Conservatives. And for the second point, when it comes to national unity, the Bloc Québécois, they, in the context of a minority government, the Bloc Québécois are a large and established party in Ottawa. They wield power. That is just how it works. In fact, they have propped up the Conservative government on dozens and dozens of occasions in the past. So the idea that the Bloc are now playing some kind of outsized role and will have some kind of increased influence with a coalition is really kind of silly when you look at the history, and also take into account the fact that in the agreement that has been signed between the coalition parties and then supported by the Bloc Québécois, they agreed to not even talk about separatism until 2011. So in fact, this coalition is a victory for national unity. Now, in contrast, I've been speaking with many friends from Quebec over the past couple of days, and they are deeply outraged by really the demonizing, literally saying, that the Liberals and the NDP are getting in bed with the devil, the demonizing of the Bloc Québécois and all of the Quebecers that have voted for them. So we're seeing a unity crisis is being created, not by the Liberals and NDP forming a coalition with the support from the Bloc Québécois, but by the attempt of the Harper government to demonize that as being illegitimate and traitorous.
What do you think it's going to take, Jamie, for the opposition parties, particularly the NDP and the Liberals, to maintain their resolve to confront the Conservatives and to try to form a coalition government?
I think it's going to take progressive Canadians organizing and mobilizing in a way that we simply haven't for a very long time. We need to be constantly telling the NDP and the Liberals as that as their supporters, we support them forming a coalition government. And we need to hit the streets. We need to talk to our friends and family. We need to get out there to we need to get out there to win the hearts and minds of Canadians that this is a legitimate, just, and actually attractive option for Canadian government going forward. And in fact, that it touches some core Canadian values of consensus building and cooperation. I guess my key message is that as progressives, we need to not just watch and reflect on what's happening, but we really need to act, and we need to work together, and we need to organize. And there are many initiatives that have sprung up to do that. Our own website, progressivecoalition.ca, if you sign our petition and give us your email address, we'll get you on our mailing list, and we're using that to organize across the country. The Rita Hall Institute with their Smart Vote 2008 is organizing. And then there's the makeparliamentwork.ca initiative. I think in every case, the different progressive forces have focused on this 1 week kind of pitched battle that we had, and with proroguing are now reevaluating what our strategy is going forward over the next 2 months. But that reevaluation is going to happen very quickly, and we're going to need to organize and launch ourselves back into action really in the coming days. I mean, as I said before, the Conservatives are already organizing phone banking. So, you know, we need to get out there and organize and talk to people.
For people who want to kind of express their opinions in support of the coalition, what are the most effective avenues that they have at this point?
There are a couple. One would be emailing or calling your own MPs. They're facing an absolute blizzard of organized conservative emails and phone calls. So they love to hear from you. They love to hear your support. A second very important avenue is through the traditional media. So call radio is very important. Call radio reaches a lot of people that are undecided or persuadable on this issue. Call radio, letters to the editor, op-eds in your papers, organizing events in your community that will then get covered by the media and also just make you feel good. And then a third major avenue, and perhaps really the most important going forward, especially going forward into the holiday season, is just personal conversations with your friends and neighbors. Talk to as many people as you can in support of a progressive coalition. We need to shift public opinion over the next 2 months. We need to do a really good job of it.
Well, thanks so much for joining me this morning, Jamie.
Oh, thank you very much, Lorraine.
Okay, it's been good talking to you.
Good talking to you too.
I've been speaking with Jamie Bigger. He's a co-founder of Canadians for a Progressive Coalition. Their site is at progressivecoalition.ca.